Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024, performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset. I will be live June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. 87 minutes commercial free.
Non-stop hip hop.
Coming up at 7 with Ebro in the morning. Woo! Hot 97.
Oh, you need to call, right, Laura? They need to call.
Of course. You guys want to play Laura Never Loses. Oh, Ebro, I think this is something special that you're giving the people for a special winner.
A special. What do we have today?
The 1619 Project book.
Oh, yeah. We got all these books to give out. The 1619 Project book has just hit all bookstores. You know what I'm saying? So we went and copped some. They gave us some to give away for free, and we giving them to y'all, man. So y'all can make sure y'all have this in your library at the crib, or, you know, make sure your kids have it. 1619 Project. We got the book right now. And everybody that just got their heart broke. Wait a minute, this love started off so sweet. You could just, smoking up. Yo, man, that album still goes, man. An Evening with Silk Sonic. So proud of those brothers, man. Yo, Laura, you know they was mad nervous putting this album out.
Really? Why?
Mad nervous. They seem mad scared when I talk to them.
Oh, wow.
Well, because it's so different. Like, what else is there that sound like this?
But to me, that makes it more of a...
That's what I was saying.
A special thing.
Well, and it's like undeniably good. Like, you may not even like it. Because you're like, yo, I don't, you know, want that era of music, or I don't want anything that sound like that. But you can't say that it's not musically and sonically and vocally good. Phenomenal. Right, right. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Of course.
Like, it's vocally phenomenal. It's musically phenomenal. It sounds great. So, yeah, they was mad nervous. And the album continues to do numbers. And that single, I think it's still, I was on Apple Music's charts. You know, they got the city charts where you can look at the top 25 in the world or North America or, you know, city by city. And it's doing numbers, man. Doing number four in the world.
Smoking out the window.
Smoking out the window. Yeah.
It's a vibe.
Vibes. Leave the Door Open, still number 22 in the world.
Yeah, it just, it feels good. I'm not going to front you. You overdo it. So it's easy to want to be like, yo, calm down, yo. But it's very good.
Well, who overdoes it?
You.
What do you mean I overdo it?
I mean, I know you part of the, do they got a beehive?
I don't know. He's a hooligan.
He's a hooligan.
I mean, I'm not really, I'm not a hooligan. You know what I'm saying? I'm a fan of great, phenomenal, different
music.
Music.
And they happen to put out one of those types of things.
But it's also, you know, like, here's the other part for me. There's so many great artists out, right? Mm-hmm. And talented artists. But, you know, often those talented artists work so hard to be like, you know, outside the box. And I don't want to be like this. And I don't want to be like that. These two want to be straight down the middle. I want to write a hook, yeah, a verse, a story that everybody can relate to. Like, mm-hmm, they're making it easy to love them.
Yeah.
All, a lot of artists be wanting to make you work, fam. I just want to click the button and to come on and me be like, ah, this is...
this is it.
I get this. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it sounds grown up, too. It don't sound like I'm listening to a 15-year-old with a nasally auto-tune voice. And, you know, I'm not shading anybody, but I'm a grown-ass man, dog. I can't be listening to some of y'all sounding like y'all sophomores in high school going through your first heartbreak. I just can't. I'm sorry. I can't. It's not for me. Oh, and like, I can get the musicality of it. I get why it's popular. But, yo, sometimes I'll be listening to the radio, and I'll be like, yo, why does this sound like a seventh grader right now?
Right.
Yeah. Singing all nasally on a record, talking about you gonna pull your gun out.
Right. Yeah, nah, with this album, they brought it back. Every song just feels good. I mean, it helps that they're musicians, actual musicians.
And did I break down the album for y'all?
I think you did.
You already did. It's
top
okay.
of the week.
Yeah. Y'all don't want to hear it again, is what you said.
No, we're good. Yeah, we're good.
We'll listen to it over the weekend.
Yo, but just let me know, you know what I'm saying, if you want me to bust down how this evening with Silk Sonic goes from, you know what I'm saying, leaving the door open, and then he thought he was in love, but then he found out she belonged to everybody.
To the streets. And then he's blowing smoke out the window. And then they had to go skating at some point.
Nah, but then you missed a part. You missed a part where he's...
We're
good, bro. We're good. Come on.
Oh, sorry.
Let's play Lord Never Loses, man.
You making her sad, B.
Yo, I think it's Jadine. Jadine and Johnny. Jadine, Jadine. Am I saying it right? Jadine, what is it?
Right.
Jadine.
It's just J-A-D-E-N-E, Jadine.
No, it's J-U, J-U.
Oh, he spelled it J-A. Come on, producer Griff. Yeah. See, I would have got Judine.
I would have said Jadine off of this.
You know what I'm saying? Well, Judine, welcome to the program. Johnny.
Thank you.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
What's popping, man?
Ain't nothing much working.
Where you at?
Driving Interstate Waste Services.
Okay.
The garbage trucks.
There you go. Shout out to the sanitation peoples. Garbage workers picking it up, making sure the streets is clean. Y'all get cake, right? Talk about it, Johnny. How much you make an hour, bro?
You can make anywhere from 90 to
100K
a year.
Oh, man, caking out here, B.
I'm looking good.
Yo, I see them dudes middle of the night, 2 a.m., they got their headphones on and they just swinging on the back of the truck listening to Wu-Tang or whatever y'all be listening to while y'all picking up. Yo, I'll be like, listen, it looked like a dirty job, but I know they put in them hours and get that cake. Shout out to y'all, man. Judine, where you going to get money?
I'm actually sitting in the parking lot at work. I'm a nursing assistant.
Shout out to you, nursing assistant. Okay, yeah. Love that. Shout out to everybody working on the front lines, the hospital, EMS workers, everybody, man. We still, I don't think say it enough, but we appreciate y'all, man. That pandemic and this COVID-19 thing is really real. Judine, how are the numbers looking? Numbers going up in these hospitals, or is it just cases going up, but the death toll is smooth?
Actually, it's not as bad as it used to be. Most people are taking their vaccines, so, you know, it's a good look.
There it is. Keep it low. Keep it easy. All right, here we go. Judine, who you want to represent you today? We're giving away that book to 1619 Project today. Shout out to Nicole Hannah-Jones out there. Thank you for the love. Judine, who you want to represent you, me or Laura Styles?
Well, the game says Laura never loses, so let's go, Laura.
Listen.
All right, Mama. I'm going to try. That's right.
But you got to look at the fine print. You know what I mean? I'll tell you about that in a minute.
Okay.
Yeah, right. You see this?
Shawnee with the question.
Question.
Right. Let's play Laura Never Losing.
All right, here we go.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. Fat Joe and Remy Ebro. Ma. Ebro.
Fat Joe and Remy Ma.
Three, two.
Are from Terror Squad.
That is a fact, but false. Oh. Fat Joe and Remy Ma are set to host whose show?
Oh, they're taking over the Wendy Williams show.
Wendy Williams.
I never heard
correct.
Of that. Congratulations, y'all.
Ni hao is the common greeting in what Ebro. Language, Ebro?
Ni hao.
Ni hao. Oh, I think I know this.
Ooh, ni hao.
Three.
Ni hao. Two. Is that Vietnamese?
One. Incorrect.
What is it?
It's Mandarin.
Mandarin.
You know how I know? Because a word party.
Because a word party?
Yes. My kid watches it.
Oh, wow.
Ni hao. Drake apparently buried the hatchet.
Ebro. Kanye West.
With Kanye West, that's a fact. In the Southern Hemisphere, the shortest day of the year.
Ebro.
Ooh.
The Southern Hemisphere, the shortest day of the year is December. No, I'm sorry. June 23rd.
He ties with that. You said what?
Give it to him.
The question was, in the Southern Hemisphere, the shortest day of the year occurs in which month?
Oh.
And you were more specific, but you get that. Tie game.
Okay.
All right. Here we go. On a Friday.
Pow, pow, pow.
All right. This is for the winners of winners and not sore losers.
Okay.
Which sea creature has three hearts?
Ebro.
Oh, I know.
Ebro.
Isn't it the octopus?
Ebro wins. Yeah.
Oh! On a Friday. Judine, that's what I told you. You gotta look at the fine print, baby.
Judine,
sorry,
you gotta
look at the
Mama.
Fine print, baby. You gotta look at the fine print, baby. The fine print is Lord never loses, but Ebro sometimes wins.
That's true.
Oh, and another a postscript of the fine print also says, when Ebro wins, everybody wins. We giving y'all both 1619 Project books. It's Friday, man.
Oh, that's nice.
Yo, we went out. They gave us some books to give away, and we copied mad books to give away too, man. Yo, y'all, cause y'all remember Laura, you remember this when the magazine, New York Times magazine came out? We had boxes of that we was giving out in the streets, man, pulling up in neighborhoods everywhere, giving that out to people, man. So, you know, we want to keep the momentum going. It's great, necessary information in this book, the 1619 Project, available everywhere you can get books. Thank you both. We love y'all. Have a great weekend. On the way, Flashing Lights, Laura Stiles.
Coming up in a Flashing Lights report, man. I guess these two celebrities are officially dating. We've been talking about it. We've been speculating.
Oh, but it's official.
I'll give you details coming up next.
7 minutes commercial free.
Non-stop hip hop.
Coming up at 7 with Ebro in the morning.
Woo!
Hot 97. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset.
I will be live.
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac, man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. In the morning, Hot 97.
Let's go, Flashing Lights time. Laura Stiles.
Laura Stiles got the 411 on the flashlights.
Are you ready for the flashing lights? And Laura Stiles gonna put us on.
I mean, we've been talking about it, speculating. And now, according to Page Six, they're saying that Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson are officially dating.
Told y'all.
Ooh-wee!
I they're saying that, listen, they've been going on plenty of dates in L.A. and in New York. We saw the picture of him celebrating his birthday, pajama-themed party at Kris Jenner's home in Palm Springs.
I got a question for y'all.
With Flavor Flav, of course.
Yeah, you can't forget Flav. Wow. Didn't Kim at one point say she was going to, like, focus on being a lawyer, and she was stepping away from the reality show thing as much, and she wanted to kind of, like, not be as public as much or something? Do you guys remember that?
Stepping away from TV.
I never heard that.
Never heard that. I thought I heard that somewhere.
I heard that she was going to pursue her her career as a lawyer, but I don't
know. She's definitely taking the bar. And wanted to be like her dad.
Got it. Okay.
But I don't think she ever said she was going to step away.
If what you're saying is that meant she was going to stop having made up relationships with people for TV. No, she did not say that.
According to you, Rosenberg, who know Pete Davidson, girls like this guy.
It doesn't take me to know that, but yes, girls like this guy.
Well, no. I mean, like, you know, like, we could see, because I don't know him and I don't know all the stories, I could see somebody in celebrity relationships and just think, like, oh, okay, they're dating people in their sphere. You know what I mean? But you said, like, nah, like, girls like this guy.
Yeah. He's a notorious slanger.
Yeah.
He used to date Ariana Grande. Who else?
What's her face? That actress who was older than him, who I can't remember. Several models.
Cassie David.
I knew about Ariana Grande. I didn't know about nothing else. Who's Cassie David?
David's daughter.
Got it.
It's always something. It's for 5 years now, it's always something.
Right. So anyway, I say all that to say that while this may have started as a thing for television where they were kind of like dating and it was going to be a part of the television show, maybe this making it official thing means it's real.
You think it's time for him to play that DJ Drewski classic?
Yo, run that. Let's make it official. Wow.
Let's see. But in other news, guys, the movie King Richard is out.
Yo, I need to go see that.
Right
they
now,
got
very excited. It's out in theaters and on HBO Max.
Oh, it's on HBO Max?
Yeah.
What? I'm sitting right here, baby.
This is amazing. I'm watching like tweets and I'm reading tweets of people who have watched and everybody saying it's amazing.
Man, I can't watch the trailer.
I know. I watched the trailer and I was already
I cry
tears.
Every time.
No, Will's.
Every
Will's,
time.
Will's interviews have been enough recently to get you.
Yo, Will's, his book had people crying.
He's out here dropping gems.
How very exciting. Very exciting. That's your flashing lights report. The time, 7:02. Today, a high 47 degrees. Alternate side parking rules are in effect.
Yo, is it out?
When is it coming out?
It's out. It's out now. No, I was looking at this Freddie Gibbs Jadakiss record. Y'all heard this joint?
Nah.
Black Illuminati? There's some new music out today, man. That French Montana album's out.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man. Our conversation with French Montana. We're going to play some French Montana classics after 8. Plus, French will be on the program. Y'all keep it locked, man. We got congratulations. You played yourself. Ride or die. It's all going team. See, bro, Laura Rosenberg. Good morning.
WQHDFM HD1 New York, 97 minutes commercial free.
Yeah.
Commercial free coming up at 7 with Ebro in the morning. Hot 97.
Ebro Law Rosenberg, good morning, good morning, good morning. Yo, I'm so hyped, man. Laura just did the flashing lights a second ago. I had to run out there and tell the family, man, we got a movie to watch tonight, that King Richard on HBO Max, man. I thought they was forcing me back into the movie theaters. You know what I'm saying? I was like, man.
Don't ruin it on Monday. You know what I'm saying?
What you mean?
Like by telling all the, you know, details. Because not
everybody
gonna
y'all already saw the story. It happened in real. You lived it. What? No, there's no details.
That doesn't matter.
Is there stuff in the movie that I could, like, spoil? What?
He's just saying don't ruin it tomorrow. I mean, Monday.
People definitely won't know the story the way they knew it, the way you know it after you see the movie.
Yo, yeah, Rosenberg, where are you broadcasting from right now?
Because, you know, like,
sorry, I plugged in the wrong thing.
Some of us won't get to it until like Thanksgiving when all the family, like, we
yo,
still got
man.
Another 3 days.
Yo,
after
yo,
that.
When have I come on here and ruined a movie or a show? When is that? I mean,
he's not John.
Right, he's not. I don't know. He's so excited. I just feel like it might be like Bruno Mars.
I was just excited to tear up with the family, man. I was just going to weep with the family, man, with joy.
Now, it does sound like a good time. I'm just imagining Monday you're going to come in and be like, yo, this part, that part.
No, I don't usually do that. Even yesterday when we talked about how much I love BMF on Stars, I didn't tell y'all all the... I just told you the overarching kind of reason why.
True.
It's an important thing to watch. And
that was impressive because he didn't give anything away, and that was a literal 5-minute infomercial. And he gave away nothing.
True, and he did inspire me to want to go see it. So
see what I'm saying? So after all of that, hit Shawnee with the button for Doubt Me God. You know what I mean?
Congratulations, you played yourself.
So all that big Willie talk, hop you up, playing yourself. You're playing yourself. You're playing yourself.
Aha, aha.
I don't play.
Also, hit me with a congrats. And my compadres here on the Ebro in the Morning program. We get a congratulations, you played yourself. Because we... did not watch Chaka Khan and Stephanie Mills last night on Versus.
Congratulations, you played yourself. Honestly,
and I tried. I tuned in, and there was a DJ battle going on. Shout out to DJ Scratch hosting the DJ battle, because I think they're still looking for the DJ, like the official Versus DJ or something. And then I fell asleep and woke up to people talking about Chaka Khan was Twizzy and talking about F this and F that and left the stage or something, trying to figure out what happened. Man. If you watched the Versus last night, first and foremost, I want to apologize to the legends. I love both of those women with my whole heart, but I was not there. And then it was on the West Coast, so that means it started at like 10 p.m. Y'all know I'm old, man. It was late, man. It was late. Cast One, did you watch it?
Yes. Yeah, I did. I turned it on and the stream froze, so I closed my phone. I went back to
okay.
So you weren't overly committed to it?
Well, it's not even that. I had to be out yesterday, so, and I actually forgot. So hit me with the button too.
I forgot.
Congratulations, you played yourself.
Oh man! I was on social media and I was like, oh wow, this today.
Listen, Shawnee gets on the air every Wednesday and is honest about the things he doesn't know or care about. I absolutely knew about this, and though I love Chaka Khan, the music of hers that I know. When I saw the matchup, I thought Stephanie Mills was a very weird matchup for Chaka Khan. It didn't seem even to me. If that's my ignorance on Stephanie Mills' catalog, okay. I knew it was on. I watched sports and went to bed.
Man. Well, I mean, it's very black, so I didn't expect
is
that.
Is Stephanie Mills Chaka Khan level for a versus?
What? Yeah. Are you wildin'?
Yo, you don't know Black Ish Friday?
Apparently, because I don't know Stephanie Mills' catalog for sure.
You don't know Black Music Friday. Hit Rosenberg with the button. Yeah. Hit us all with the button for not
you played yourself
being on our game. Laura, what you got today?
So I was reading this article about this couple in California by the name of Richard Ivanzan and his wife Marietta. They're both facing prison time for their role in a massive COVID relief fraud scheme. So they decided they were facing about like six to eight months in jail. They decided to cut off their electronic tracking bracelets and fled, leaving their three teenage children behind, ages 13, 15, and 16. And they just left a note. It said, "We'll be together again one day. This is not a goodbye, but a brief break from each other." Wow. And they did.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
So I saw in another report, though, that was like about this story that their caretakers were trying to take the kids to Armenia. And the government was like, "Nah, fam, they stayed right here." Because I have a feeling that they probably fled to their country and they're trying to meet up on the other side. They were like, "Yeah, they're staying right here."
Wow. How many M's they got off the
This article doesn't say how much, but a lot of money, guys. It was a lot.
Hey, listen.
So their plan didn't quite work out the way they were planning with the kids. I don't know. But for what I read, I'll give them the button.
Congratulations, you played.
I mean, what did they get the button for exactly?
Like if they're
for leaving their children?
Yes, like if that was
how old
plan,
are their children?
13, 15, and 16.
Oh, they gonna be all right. You know what I'm saying?
What?
They gonna be all right.
I don't know, Ebro.
It depends 13? On what country. Yo, it depends on what country they from. You know what I'm saying? Some of it. Yo, there you go. I mean, those people been through a lot, man. Shout out to all the Armenians out here. We come up on this paper. We'll see y'all when y'all, you know, 5 years. When y'all over 18, y'all can travel back. We got a stash for you. Hey, man, we got to make sacrifices in life, people.
Chill.
Nah, man. This is terrible.
I don't know if that's it.
Listen. American minds say this, but there are people who make bigger sacrifices in other countries just to get to a safe place. They got their hands on M's. Change their life forever. We up out of here.
Peace. I'll see you, kids. Bye.
Y'all gonna be out. What, they got a caretaker too?
Like a grandma or something.
Y'all gonna be all right.
If you got a grandma, if you got a grandma, you're good.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's facts. Grandma got you.
Yeah, you'll be all right. You'll be all right, man. I'll see you in a minute.
Wow.
Rosenberg, what you got on your list?
Seven Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Mac Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
I have mixed feelings on this. You see Enes Kanter coming after LeBron James about the relationship with China?
Mm-mm.
So Enes Kanter of the Celtics, he feels, you know, he's a big advocate on many issues related to social justice and specifically China, Tibet, etc. And he went hard at LeBron James yesterday. Quote, "Money over morals. For the king. Sad and disgusting how these athletes pretend they care about social justice." And I guess the reason I'm feeling a little bit of congratulations, you played yourself, is not where his heart is on these subjects. But that, I don't know if you can go that hard at LeBron while literally wearing Nike products on the basketball court. But so LeBron is that bad because he has huge deals with Nike, but you're somehow removed from this because you make your living in a league that's in huge partnership with Nike?
And you're wearing China. Nike products?
And China.
And the NBA has huge
The reason Enes Kanter is coming for LeBron is because LeBron is that entity that I'm sure, I'm almost positive, because this isn't even a topic right now. This is an old topic that he's rehashing, because those same MAGAs that come after LeBron, they love bringing this topic up.
Well, but unlike them, Kanter really does live that life when it comes to fighting on these issues. He's not the same as those people.
No, I'm not saying that, but it's a hot topic for those people. It's a hot topic on social media. It's a hot topic if you want your name to go around. And I mean, look, come for LeBron. If you want to come for LeBron, he's going to be all right. And it's Kanter. He's going to be all right. You can say whatever you want to say.
He's also in the past directly gone at Phil Knight of Nike to the owner of Nike, Phil Knight. How about I book plane tickets for us? Let's fly to China together. We can visit these slave labor camps and you can see it with your own eyes. So it's not that he doesn't go for everyone. It's just there's something about specifically going for LeBron when you're a part of this whole league that has given you your lifestyle and has given you the ability to have a platform to say these things, that it strikes me as a little bit of...
But the other side of it is, Rosenberg, you sound like people who come after people in America for coming after America. And it's like, you live in America, you benefit from America, you pay taxes in America, why are you speaking out against America? I mean, you know, that's the other side of it, too, is, you know, your man's got a job to do, he got hired, he signed a contract to do a job, and that comes with some things that he may not like, but that doesn't mean that he can't be vocal about it.
True, but specifically pointing out one of your colleagues just because they have a different relationship with that company when y'all both have relationships with that company.
Yeah, but that's my point. He's just pointing out LeBron because LeBron's the big topic on that, and we'll get a lot of RTs and conversation.
I guess I also just, on the exact side of what you're talking about, people coming in America, because I'm smart, I see it the exact opposite way as of those people, which is that people like LeBron, of course, should come for America. America is where they live. It is so much more impactful for them to do so. And it's so different to ask people to come at issues that are across the world that they may not have the same passion or understanding for.
How about this? I'll take it a step further. China makes no qualms or promises about being human rights violators.
You mean they don't portray an image they don't have that they're supposed to
they
be better?
They don't portray an image to the world that they're trying to do anything other than do what they want to do when they want to do it. China ain't even inviting you over there as immigrants. They don't even want you there. Beat it. We getting this money and we preserving what we got to do for China. America makes promises to the world that they don't keep.
Facts.
Yeah, it doesn't make it right what China does.
No,
it does,
I'm not
it
saying
it. It does make it different.
It's different. Saudi Arabia doesn't make promises to the world about who they are or how they're going to treat women or what. They don't give a damn what the world thinks. We're doing what we're doing. And we can all complain and whatever, but guess what? We still going to have to do business with Saudi Arabia. We still going to have to do business with China. We still doing business with Russia. Those people are running their countries, and we can say what we want, but they are not making promises to the world the way America does, and then America doesn't live up to its promise. That's why it's different.
That being said,
congratulations, you played yourself.
So all that big Willie talk, hop you up, playing yourself, you're playing yourself, you're playing yourself.
Ebro in the morning with Laura Styles and Rosenberg.
By the way, Ebro, on a slightly different note, just want everyone to know that coming up in a few minutes, the official Whole Lotta Turkey video dropping on that Hot 97 YouTube.
Yo, Cash, run that Whole Lotta Turkey right now for the culture. And by the culture, I mean people who like turkey.
I'm going to tell you this right now. I swear to God, we do a lot of things on this show. We do a lot of things on the show. I have never got more DMs on IG of girls singing in the car or doing, or actually, frankly, being into anything I've ever done on this show as Whole Lotta Turkey. I do not understand what's going on out here.
Whole people lot like turkey rap. Mug. People like turkey rap. Whole lot of turkey in this mug.
I think people are just excited for Thanksgiving.
Facts. Love to eat.
Yo, Cash One don't have a song? Dang, you ain't got a whole lot of turkey in Serato?
It's at 8 o'clock.
Just have to get it.
I got it.
Here we go.
Nobody got to wait till 8 o'clock. Yep. Play the goddamn song.
Ebro said, you don't got a whole lot of turkey in your Serato.
You need that turkey.
Come on, man. Rosenberg, why are you sending waves, man?
I sent both. They're MP3s attached, man.
You guys are a disaster.
No, bro, it's all waves, man.
It's a disaster, bro.
I got it.
Hit the button again, Shawnee.
Too hungry for yogurt.
Congratulations. You played yourself.
I'm too hungry for a snack.
Video dropping on Hot 97 YouTube.
Please, mommy, no snack. Okay, all right, that's fine. Yes, please.
Ebro Law Rosenberg, good morning, good morning, good morning. We're about to be seeing if somebody is smarter than DJ John soon come. That's going to happen. We also, at least I am anyway, keeping track of, you know, the big winter COVID stories. Ooh.
It's going to be a lot. It's
gonna be, you know, a lot. What I'm saying? My favorite one is watching the anti-vax people jump on Dr. Fauci saying that hospitalizations among vaccinated is going up.
It's going
because
up.
because they haven't got their booster.
Get your boosters.
Which means that, you know, which seems to make sense, seeing that many people, what month did the vaccines roll out? March?
Before March. That. No, that was a little before that, I think. I think in the early winter.
If you were immune compromised, you had, remember you had the opportunity to get it very early.
Oh, if you're older, for sure.
Yes.
When did that start, Laura?
Earlier.
I think January.
Yeah, very early.
So we're approaching, some people got vaccinated almost a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Time for your booster.
Yeah.
So for the booster promo, you know what I'm saying? The rollout of the booster.
It's right now.
It's right now.
Get your arms ready. Because they said, more vaccinated people are getting hospitalized.
Yeah,
point.
Because I'd have to assume it's immune compromised, older. They haven't actually said whom those people are.
Right. Did you
but I'd have to, and I'd also have to assume it's people who got it very early.
Yeah, because the vaccine, once you take the vaccine, doesn't mean you're good for life. You have to take it again.
No, Laura, the vaccine's a cure. What are you talking about?
Shut up.
Now you got to keep on taking it. And we don't know. No,
the vaccine's a cure, man. It was supposed to fix all the world's problems. Y'all didn't know that?
I don't even like you being sarcastic because I don't really think you're being serious.
Yeah, you're being sarcastic, but that's how they sold it in some respects.
That's not how they sold it.
In some respects.
No, they did not.
It's supposed to keep you out of the hospital, right?
That's it.
Yes.
Death in hospital. That was it. They didn't say you weren't going to get COVID again. They didn't say that some people. And they also said it wasn't 100%.
So it's supposed to keep you out of the hospital if you're vaccinated, but now there's some vaccinated people that are in the hospital.
Right,
well, because they said it doesn't last forever, bro.
They always talked about you're going to have to get revaccinated.
I mean, they came out with that a little bit later.
People like you and your ilk are just waiting to be right.
Not really.
You're 5 years from now, y'all going to be like, yo, I told you this vaccine wasn't no good. Y'all still getting it?
Well,
they know, people know they're going to have to keep getting these things. They already know. People already know.
Well, that's the money grab. So they're going to keep grabbing for your arm. But you saw that the FDA came out asking for their files not to be released for another 55 years.
What do you mean? I don't know what you're talking about.
So basically, their reports of anything that's going on with Pfizer. They asked the FDA, that's what it was. They asked the FDA if that could be released within 55 years. So silence on any type of real side effects or what's going on with the Pfizer, that won't be released until 2076. Mm. That came out yesterday. So
they
by the time y'all really find out what's really going on, it'll be too late.
Well, I mean, look, hundreds of millions of people got vaxxed. So if hundreds of millions of people got problems, I'm sure we're going to find out another way.
I'm sure.
You're going to find out another way.
Right. In 2076, you know, we'll get those commercials. If you took it back then, you know, it might be.
Oh, yeah, it'd be like the, it's the metho, what's the one they say all the time? The methophilizoma.
Yeah.
If you got methophilizoma or whatever it is, yeah. I see them commercials all the time.
Are there a lot of vaccines that were taken on a mass level that we hear about people suffering from mass side effects down the line?
I'm pretty sure we would have heard about it.
Well, they're censoring a lot of it. So there's some information out there that you can find if you look a little bit. No. Surface.
What I'm saying is if mass amounts of people are having complications, you can censor tens of thousands, to Shani's point, right? Tens of thousands.
For sure.
But hundreds of millions? Vaccines are good for most.
Vaccines
are good for most.
It's not a
one-size-fits-all program. It's a good for most.
Facts.
And so when you're talking about hundreds of millions, and then you come back and tell me that 12,000 people have problems, that makes sense to me.
Right. And it's
right. You know, if we're trying to save hundreds of millions of people and in the process are going to lose some thousands.
That's cool.
It's not cool. That's just what happens. It always happens that way.
And that's part of the issue.
Because on the other side, for people who don't want to get vaxxed, we lost hundreds of thousands.
That's the part that I'm always so confused about. Everyone is so focused on the thousands who you might lose from the vaccine, but I didn't feel the same energy about the hundreds of thousands dying from COVID. In fact, it seems like, I'm not talking about you necessarily, Shawnee, but it seems like a lot of people who were so angry about the vaccine and they're really anti, they didn't even really take the precautions like they believed in the hundreds of thousands that were dying from COVID. So like, I never understand why we prioritize what we prioritize. To Ebro's point, the vaccine's not going to work for everyone. It's not. But
right.
That's always been the case with vaccines. That's not abnormal.
Right. Well, the thing is this. I think the mandate and having the choice is the biggest issue here right now. Because
sure,
as you
I agree.
Said, it's not one size fits all.
Well,
and if there's tens of
here's
thousands
the thing
of
about being
dying,
a part of a community.
But
when you're a part of a community, when you're a part of a community, and you're going to have to make choices sometimes to be a part of a community that you ain't going to like, if that's the direction that the community's going or if that's the thing that that people feel is going to keep people the safest and alive. That's just what it is, bro.
I mean,
whether you like it or not, you could protest, you could do all the things. I'm with you. Hold the line, stand with Kyrie, all of that.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? Do it. And if you can do it, do it. But the reality is what's best for most, not at all.
And we'll see if it was best for most maybe in 2076, but I'm listening.
Well, no, we'll know before that because millions of people will have problems that we'll know about.
Right. And there's some people who are waiting to see. That's really what it is. But
you know what I'm saying?
Speaking of protests, tomorrow there's a huge protest going on at Foley Square. So if anybody wants to support and they're holding the line for choice, that's going down. It starts at 12 o'clock Central Park, West 65th Street is when the rallies begin. And that goes on till
listen,
later and ends up
I'll
at
tell
Foley
you what
Square.
I hope. What I seriously
also
hope.
Monday.
I hope by January, February. I hope by January, February. We don't see a lot of death during this holiday. Things is very chill. And all of this stuff wanes and all the mandates and all that stuff go away.
Yeah, I think
the mandate
that.
Is frozen right now. It's suspended by the federal court.
No, but that's for federal workers. That's for people who work for cities and things
like
that.
Yeah, that's
like
not
that.
New York City.
That's not New York City.
Right.
That's the federal.
Right.
And remember, global. If you're paying attention, we keep going over this. Y'all keep thinking the president of the United States runs every state. That ain't the way the United States is set up. Sorry.
Yeah,
he can't swoop down and just say. He also can't just tell corporations what to do all the time. And so there's corporations out there that's like, yo, if you want this job, this is what it is.
Yeah. Well, he tried.
And you can move to Jersey and work in Jersey. You can move upstate. You can work in a school district upstate. They don't have mandates upstate for all the school districts.
Yeah. Now, there's people who, you know, he tried to throw it on as a blanket to everybody, but
well, he wanted to. He wasn't hiding that. He wanted that was his goal, was to get in here and get this to go away.
Right, and they shut him down.
Listen, at this point, a majority of Americans are vaxxed, So if you feel good at the protests, rock on. But a majority of people are vaxxed. And if you live in New York City, you got to have a vax card. That's what it is. Who's on the line right now? DJ John, bring him in. Let's go.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset.
I will be live.
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Meth Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T. Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
DJ John. John, what you got to give to people?
Jack Harlow Thanksgiving hookup, baby.
Baby.
You guys hear me?
Sure. Yeah, we can hear you. Well, we just don't know why you're calling us. Are you working on something else? What are you doing?
Yeah, working on something else.
Where are you?
Well, I was trying to finish up the prize. I'm going to finish up telling the prize. So you get $100 going towards your grocery for Thanksgiving. You get a turkey voucher and see Jack Hall live on Terminal 5 December 30th going down. Made out by Atlantic Records at 97, baby.
Baby. Now, where are you?
I'm making my way to visit family next week, so I took off next week.
Oh, nice! Good for you, baby.
Yeah.
Go ahead, man.
Thank you.
Would you head to Mexico?
My family. Nah, I'm going to Utah. Going snowboarding.
Oh yeah, the Utah fam. Nice. Are you hitting the mountains? You going snowboarding?
Yeah, you
know. I'm jealous. I'm super jealous, man. Super jealous. All right, who we got on the line, Shawnee Culture? Stuff. All right, I'm off you. Who we got on the line?
We got Dove.
Doug, what's going on?
Dove.
Oh, Dove. Like the soap. Dove, what's popping, baby?
Dove.
What's going on?
Clean like Dove. Answer this question, Dove, so we can lace you with Jack Harlow, $100 towards your groceries for Thanksgiving.
Before I answer the question, my daughter wants to answer the question. She's a big fan.
Okay. What's her name?
All right. That's allowed.
My name is Leah.
What'd she say? Y'all heard it?
Say it again. What's your name?
Leah.
Welcome to the program. Give it up one time for Leah on the program. You know what I'm saying?
Leah.
First time caller, long time listener. Leah in the building.
All right, Leah, I want you to focus, okay? Pay attention to this question, Leah. Can you tell us what professional sport does Venus and Serena play?
Basketball.
Tennis.
Wait, what?
Yo, Juanito, shut up.
Correct, Leah. You are
correct. Yeah, Leah. Way to ignore the ignoramuses. Like Juanito. Ignore that man.
All right, DJ John.
Out of way, Leah.
Here is your question. Can you tell us what is Venus and Serena's mother's name?
Oh, Gloria. It's easy. It's layup.
Wrong.
Basketball.
It is Orsine Price. Well, Leah, you
shout
are
shout to Miss
Orsine.
Leah, Jack Harlow tickets are yours. You got money for the family for Thanksgiving groceries. You got a gift certificate to get a turkey. Turkeys is expensive out here. You brought it home for the family, Leah. We appreciate you. And shout out to your dad, Dove. Y'all hang on one time.
She been trying to. All right.
Dove, go ahead. Say what you was going to say, Dove.
Nah, she's been trying to get on this show for the past year now.
She made it.
Yeah,
congratulations. Yo, Dad, thank you for supporting us, man. Appreciate
that's love.
You.
Yay. Thank you, guys.
Appreciate y'all. Go, Dad.
Yo, hang up on Juanito, bro. Yo, please.
Done.
Damn. Let's go. Flashing lights. Laura Styles. Let's get it.
Lauren Styles got the 411 on the flashing lights. Lights.
I know you're ready for the flashing lights. And Lauren Styles gonna put us on.
This was sad to read. Fans that were hoping to pay tribute to Young Dolph in Memphis were gathered around Makita's Cookies, which was a place where Young Dolph supported. It was a local business in his neighborhood that he loved, and unfortunately that's where he got killed. But where people were gathering with balloons and flowers, There was gunshots.
As they were gathering.
Yes. So people scattered in fear. Police arrived. It's just, ugh. It's just so sad. Now, police have released images of the getaway car and possible. Damn. They're saying that they maybe are able to identify one of the people that shot him. But, you know, the story is still developing. But it's just so sad to read this, man. And just sending a lot of love to the people of Memphis who are just, you know, lost somebody they really loved.
It's an awful, awful story. You know, young Dolph was a complex figure, had a lot of issues in the street that had come up that we talked about with over the years, and also was a great community guy and did so many good things and loved to go back, man. And no matter what, like, just a young guy and a dad and really talented. Awful, awful story.
Yeah. In other news, the RZA says there's an old Dirty Bastard biopic in the works. That's exciting.
I saw this. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, look, they gave us the Showtime Wu-Tang Clan of Mics and Men, which was amazing.
Fire.
And then the super popular Hulu show Wu-Tang and American Saga that everybody's hooked on.
Fire.
So it's only right. He says this is definitely in the works. And I feel like it's a perfect time for us to learn so much about Old Dirty that we loved. And I'm sure there's so many personal things that, you know, we have yet to discover.
You know, he is someone who, whenever you see him in any way, in any capacity, doing anything, you just want to see more.
Right.
You know, like,
he's
a fascinating figure. Like, the energy, at least, that they portray him with on the Hulu show, Wu-Tang and American Saga, like, he just seems like such a positive, awesome dude. Crazy, but awesome, you know? Man. So I'm excited about that.
And that guy really nails it, the actor who plays him. You really feel like Old Dirty Bastard, you know, A-Son Unique. When you watch this dude, like, I can only imagine him as a young teenager.
And it's T.J. Adams is the kid's
name.
That's
his name. He's
yeah,
good.
And a lot of people think he's related to Dirty. He's not. He's just an actor, and
that's
he does
so
a great
dope.
Job.
At your flashing lights report, the time is 8:03, high of 47 degrees. Alternate side parking rules are in effect.
On the flash lights, lights.
I know you're ready for the flashing lights. And Laura starts to put us on.
Yo, it's Ebro, Laura, and Rosenberg. MC Light, Brooklyn Zone is on the program.
Yes.
Light.
Yes.
What's happening?
What's going on? I'm excited.
You look amazing this morning. Love the hairstyle. You look beautiful.
Isn't it great being rich, Light? I mean, let's just be honest. You've looked great forever. This is what happens.
That's real talk, what he's saying.
This is what happens when you hold it down for, you know, 25, 30 years.
That is hilarious. I am just blessed. You know what I mean? I'm happy to still be in the mix, getting up every morning, doing what it is that I love. And, you know, God is good. That's all I can say.
There it goes.
I'm honored to be here with you all today. I got a reason, you know, so.
You're in that now. Listen, y'all, MC Light has is this a sitcom or is this a series? Like, you're acting.
I'm acting. I'm executive producing. Mm. I co-wrote it. I co-created it and I'm starring in it. And it's a wonderful show. It's called Partners in Rhyme. And it's loosely based on my life. Matter of fact, the main character's name is Lana, which is my actual name. And she goes into the label ready to renegotiate for a new deal. And they go, mm-mm, we don't want you. Mm. We want this young girl who's an internet sensation. We want you to teach her everything you know, mold her and shape her. And it just so happens she's my niece.
Now is that loosely based on your life too? Is your niece out? You don't have a niece out here rapping? No.
No, I don't. I got plenty of nieces, but they don't rap.
Okay.
But in the show, it's, you know, the dichotomy of wanting to still be in the business, but also wanting to help my niece. You know, it's a bit of some drama.
From experience of going through, you know, being a solo star. Being an artist that also had a resurgence in her career and then still pivoting and to this day now pivoting into not only this TV thing, but I mean, look, every year Soul Train Awards, BET Awards.
The voice of BET. I mean, you're like the big voice of BET, no?
Actually, no.
No.
What, fun. No, I do the BET Awards, the ones, the big one that happens in LA.
We love
I
don't, it. The right. best award show on TV,
it
by
is the
way.
Best award show. Yeah, I mean, it makes a big impact.
Yeah, I don't do the hip hop awards, but what I do, or what I've done this year, is the BET Awards, the Image Awards, the NAACP Awards, the Grammys, the wow. Emmys.
Okay.
And there's one other one that I'm forgetting.
So you're, I apologize. You're the voice of everything.
You're the voice of everything
is what I meant to say. I'm sorry. That's pretty damn. Yo, well, how did wow. you do it? Like, how, yeah. How did you, let's.
When that's where I was going with my question was like, you made another career pivot and it's.
Where did it start?
Yeah, the first pivot. How did you do the first pivot? Because like you know, like there's so many layers to your career, right? And we all fell in love with you going all the way back to Light as a Rock. But then, you know.
Paper Thin. We're going to play that coming
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah. Paper Thin, time. You know, and all the classics at the beginning. But then you had multiple resurgence in hip hop, right? You had your Roughneck moment. You had your Cole Rock a Party moment. You had the posse cuts that were huge. But then a couple years later, you started transitioning into this other person in media. I guess how did that transition out of the specifically making music thing happen?
Well, you know, in the very beginning, my first manager, because now I'm on my third, and I've actually spent 13 years with my first manager, 13 years with my second manager, and now I'm on the third. And I finally got the flow. It wasn't really their fault. It was where I was and what I needed and felt like I was hitting a glass ceiling on the things that I wanted to achieve. But I remember my first manager saying to me, it is going to be up to us to build your celebrity and have you be popular, whether you have a hit record out or not.
Mm.
And as soon as I heard that, I thought of all the things that I ever wanted to do. You know, I was enrolled to attend Norfolk State University coming out of high school, and my career hit, so I couldn't go. But I was going to major in communications because I wanted to use my voice. I wanted to
already,
be on radio. I heard Carol Ford in the likes of all of the stations that New York City was booming through the airwaves. And so to do voiceover, it just felt like a natural progression. I took some voiceover classes and some coaching sessions. And my first voiceover was actually for VH1 Hip Hop Honors. And then I guess BET heard me, or one of the producers, because you know it's Viacom, so a lot of them, you know, share duties on different networks. And so I think they just pulled me into BET, and then it just kind of went from there. I got a voiceover agent, Malcolm Jamal Warner, introduced me to his agent, which isn't a normal team. Is who yours is your team. People aren't so apt to introduce you
oh, wow.
to their agents. But he did. Thank you, Malcolm Jamal Warner. And I was with that agency for a long time and did a bunch of, you know, all of the big name products. And it just stuck and it kept going. And as far as acting, I took acting classes and then started that mission. But it all started with me leaving New York, actually.
Mm. Mm. Which was when?
That was in 1996.
Okay. Wow. And straight to LA, straight to Hollywood.
It was a snowstorm here in New York. 10 feet of snow. I was walking through the Harlem City streets. Cars were covered with snow. And I was like, I am not doing this again. I'm not going to do another winter in New York City. And I left and I was there for 4 months playing around. And then I finally sold my property in Jersey. I still had something in Brooklyn, but I was like, I got to get out of here. And then that's when I really started to go after the things outside of music.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? It's your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Meth Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Red Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
Now, do you get to come back to New York frequently? I mean, you still have a lot of family here. Matter of fact, speaking of family, one of the big questions from one of the producers on our show was, can she substantiate the claim that Milk D from Audio 2 is her brother?
and I substantiate.
is that her brother? We must know.
Were you saying it loosely or literally your brother?
Well, let me tell you what happened. When I met all of them, I was 16 years old. And so when I signed on to First Party Music, my mom had a talk with Nat Robinson, the owner. And she said, listen, if she's going to do this, you're going to have to look after her. And he said, I'm going to look after her as if she is my daughter. And so those were his sons. So I all of a sudden had this family wrapped around me to take care of me in this crazy ass business.
So it is your work brother, your figurative brother, not your blood brother.
Right. Right.
A brother nonetheless.
Did y'all stay close over the years? Have you guys stayed tight?
Yeah, absolutely. With Milk and Giz. You know, they helped to hone in the sound and make MC Light. So yeah.
So I guess
we're still close, and so is King of Chill. As a matter of fact, we just spoke yesterday, and we speak quite often. You know, we've been blessed enough to create songs that are constantly being licensed and used in commercials and movies and TV shows. And so we're always on the phone discussing, look, we need to move quick with this. You know, we got to make this happen. But, and you know, King of Chill did Cha 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 and Light as a Rock.
Cha Cha Cha, so
you could Cha 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 to this Mardi Gras.
Now, I'm the dopest female I guess I heard thus far.
I guess I'd be remiss if you bring up Milk and Giz to ask, because I haven't heard from them in a long time. Are they chilling?
I knew you. She said they're the king of chill.
They're absolutely chilling. I feel like the sun is moving. Let me find some more light.
What more can you say? It's a good point.
What more can I say? Yes, they are chilling. They have families and still doing music when they want to, which is, you know, something to be proud of when you don't have to do something or you're doing something because you love it.
What's the one for you? Cha Cha Cha, Paper Thin, Light as a Rock.
Poor Georgie. Poor Georgie was a smash.
But that's not the same. That's not as hip hop as the first four.
Still, Poor Georgie.
I loved it.
It was a storyteller record. It was a hit song.
Oh no, I was when I used to watch the Poor Georgie video, Light. That was one of the first times I ever got emotional around music. Like it was heartbreaking. But of those early joints, if you had to perform one, if they're like, hey, we're gonna grab this, could actually really happen soon, and they're like, we want everyone to do one song, what's the one you would choose to do?
If it was here in New York City, I'd probably choose Paper Thin.
Yeah.
Okay. And what about elsewhere in Los Angeles? What would you do?
If it was Los Angeles, maybe Cha Cha Cha.
Got it.
Cha Cha Cha, boy, it's crazy.
If it was Chicago, Light as a Rock. Like, I cannot leave the building without doing Light as a Rock.
Wow.
Last song in Chicago, because they King of Chill did a house version.
Wow.
And the house is extremely popular.
Yeah, Chicago, yeah.
Yep. And that song is just as popular as any other house song that we've ever had in New York City.
Wow.
Now, at 16 years old, your mom okays you to become a rap artist. Mm-hmm. Were you writing rhymes? What were you writing a lot? You wanted to be in music. What was the impetus for you becoming a rapper?
Absolutely. I mean, once I heard Salt and Pepper, I was like, oh, wow. And then prior to that, it was Sequence and Roxanne Shanté and the Real Roxanne and Sha Rock from the Funky Four Plus One More was the first female I heard on the mic. But when I heard Salt and Pepper, I was like, oh, this is what I want to do.
And what did your mom say?
She was very supportive. All I had to do was write an essay. If I could write an essay about why I wanted to go to the hip hop club, Latin Quarters, Union Square, I just had to do four little paragraphs as to
Shout
why.
To mom. She had your writing skills ready though.
Yeah. And then I had that little composition book and I would write poems and rhymes and all kinds of stuff. As a matter of fact, Light as a Rock came out of that book. The whole album was in that book.
Yeah. Where's that book right now?
I don't even know.
The history. Universal Hip Hop Museum is getting it.
They need that.
That's one of those ones they need to have in the museum.
Yeah. I have other stuff I could give them for sure. Down at the African American Museum in D.C., they have so much stuff from me in different sections of the museum, which is fantastic.
That museum is incredible.
Smithsonian. So, yes, I got to get something. I don't know who's curating it specifically.
We can connect you.
We'll connect you with the people in the Bronx for sure.
Yeah, now, like, oh, go ahead.
In 2017, you actually hit the Summer Jam stage when Remy brought all these incredible women. And it was such a beautiful moment. But how is it for you? Because everyone's busy. But how is it uniting with the, you know, with the OGs, with the original women who started all of this, and also having conversations with a lot of the young artists? How was that experience for you?
Oh, man, it's great. I love it. You know, any given day. Matter of fact, the day before yesterday, Yo-Yo came through.
Yo-Yo!
Right? And then while she was doing her makeup in the bathroom, Rapsody called.
Wow.
Paul did a little, you know, quick catch-up. Rapsody is writing all the rhymes for a movie that Sanaa Lathan is directing down in Atlanta.
Wow.
And Lady London was with Rapsody because she's also writing some of the rhymes, and she's appearing in the movie. And Tierra Whack came through yesterday.
What? What the hell's going on out there?
Yo, what are y'all doing over there?
Yeah, you know, it's fun. It's so crazy because Yo-Yo, she came through. Her daughter just turned 18, so she was in New Jersey celebrating. Then she came to New York, and we wanted to go to see Nick and Fat Joe at Harlem Lights. We got there too late. I'm like, Joe, what's up? It's too late, Light. You missed it. Okay, we're hungry. Where should we go? Melba's. So we're getting our eating Zagat survey from Fat Joe.
Joe's the best.
Telling us where to go to eat. It's, you know, it's wonderful to be connected in that capacity. We're all lovers of hip hop. So when you find people that kind of speak the same language at the same tempo, It's a beautiful thing.
Let's talk about maybe the most incredible entrance to a song of all time.
Mm.
Funky Fresh, Dressed to Impress,
ready to party.
Money in your pocket.
Yeah. Dying with your body.
To get inside, you paid a whole $10. Scotch tape with a razor blade taped to your collar. Leave the guns and the crack and the knives alone.
MC Light is on the microphone.
Yo, you... I mean, on a song with everybody in the world, you had the moment that every, you know what I'm saying? Like, can you take us through that process and clear up the thoughts that exist about that verse and the writing of it, et cetera?
Absolutely. So we're all in the studio. KRS-One, I think there's a photo where you can see KRS-One, LL, D-Nice, and it's one other, it might be Kumo. No, we wouldn't have Kumo D and LL. No.
I was about to say that didn't happen.
And by the way, why was LL there? He didn't even get on the song. So weird.
You know what? They wanted him to get on the song really, really badly. And I don't know if it was a decision of his or his record label. But mind you, these are the days where record labels aren't too keen on you rapping on other people's records on other labels.
By the way, it's still like that. It's still like that. There's
so many collaborations.
Worse than though.
It was worse then, but it still happens now where these two labels ain't getting along or they only want to feature artists that are. It still happens. But go ahead on. Okay. Sorry about that.
Okay. So in any case, I'm there. I'm writing. You know, I'm getting really analytical with what it is that I'm writing. And, you know, I say it and they go, and I had the same experience with Puffy with Cold Rock a Party, where I was writing. He was like, "You're making too much sense. Like, make it, you know, just every thought doesn't have to correlate with the next. Like, just free it up a little bit." And so, inside the studio with Self Destruction, you know, already LL was brewing. I'm sure if he got on the record, a lot of what I said, he would have said. So we worked together to get the freshest lines and, you know, have it be hot and current, but not necessarily as analytical as I was making it. And so it was so crazy because at one point I asked, I think I finally saw the splits on it, and I didn't have any publishing or writers on the song. And I know that I contributed, but when I looked at LL, he had 2%. That's how many people was on this on this song.
Right.
And so, you know, I called up my folks and I was just like, you know what? I'm not even understanding. How does this play out?
Cram to understand.
They said, well, this is, you're funny. This is the way that it was written. Nobody complained then. So if you want to go to LL and ask him for some of the 2%, you're, you know, you can do that. I'm like, fuck that. I don't even know. You're like 1% of a damn song. Like, that's crazy. But we did work in tandem. And the only, there's only two times that I have not written a song. Okay. And I'm so glad that I got past not liking it in order to do it.
Mm.
Because to me, cha-cha-cha,
it's crazy.
To the Mardi Gras, that ain't MC Light. That right. wasn't MC Light at that time. I was hot damn ho, here we go again.
Yeah.
I was coming from Brooklyn and cha-cha-cha was a little more playful than I was accustomed to. So I'm glad that I got out of my own way and did it. It was number one on the Billboard charts and one of the most popular songs. When I perform, people know all the words to cha-cha-cha, and big up to King of Chill for doing that, which is why I understand when a record label will drop an artist for not, you know, going with the flow of what a hit record is. Mm. Sometimes as an artist, you don't tune in. You're too busy hearing your own voice and what it is that you like. And you can't hear a hit necessarily. So mm-hmm. big up to King of Chill. And then the other one, I wanted King of Chill to write because it was to a Foster McElroy song called Dr. Soul. And I didn't get it. I was like, I don't even know what to write to this. And I actually said no the first time. And then, you know, these are the guys that produced In Vogue. So this was maybe 8 months before In Vogue came out. Mm. They're actually in the video and they're singing in the video.
Mm.
But the video was about the producers, Foster McElroy. And so I said, KC, if you can write that rhyme, I'll do it. If not, like, I'm going to have to let it go. So, you know, sometimes for the sake of the song and participating, I have allowed someone to come.
Well,
in.
I think that's glossed over in the music making and recording of things that are going to entertain the people, mm. right? A lot of times artists are so, like you said, they're caught up in their own echo chamber. They're hell bent on just being what they are and not really focusing on maybe what's good for the party goer, the consumer, the person commuting in their car, going to and from work, and what mm-hmm. those people are vibing to be a part of their lives in that kind of way. Sometimes mm-hmm. artists are so stuck on bringing people into their own world, as you just articulated, right. that they don't right. go out into other people's world and see what ways that they can, touch people and affect people in their world, and sonically, musically, et cetera, et cetera. So, yeah.
Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024 performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey, what's happening? Your boy Offset.
I will be live
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
Smash like that.
This your boy Meth Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
You know what's so crazy when you said that? I can always hear a hit from someone else. You can play me the whole record. I'm like, that's going to be the hit, and that's going to be the hit. When it comes to me, I never saw it.
That's interesting and very honest.
When Roughneck went down, did the song, I knew it was energetic, but I had no idea what Roughneck was going to do. Co-rock a party. Puffy must have called me 20 times after I left the studio. This shit is crazy. Light is crazy. We need to do this, 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 and the third. It was like the most excited I'd ever seen him in my entire life. And it was sure enough a hit, one of my biggest selling records ever, but I didn't see it. The only one that I saw, and that was earlier, was Paper Thin. It was Poor Georgie. It was from the earlier days. I could tell because I was in touch and it was what I was doing. When I started to work with other producers, and they call them super producers for a reason, because they really get involved with lyrical content, you know, or how it is that you say it. Most producers you work with, but you do. These guys really get involved from beginning to end. The one that I knew was Jermaine Dupri's Keep On Keeping On. I knew, I was like, oh, this right here, this is it.
No, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, on the note of these songs and how they got made, you know, I personally, not that you care, it matters, but we've discussed this on the show before. I had weird feelings about Roughneck when it came out. Like it, I simultaneously liked it, and I liked, I think, the Beat Nuts remix too. Like,
yeah.
But simultaneously, I guess it didn't feel, as a fan, I was like, is this MC Light? It doesn't feel like MC Light. Can you tell us about that and how Roughneck came to be? Yeah. Was I wrong for feeling that way?
Probably. you know, to me, Roughneck was an ode to everybody I grew up with. You know, I grew up in Brooklyn. Everybody on my block was from the Caribbean. It was only two American families on my block, and I was one of them. Mm-hmm. The rest were Jamaicans, Haitians, Bajans, Trinidadians, Panamanians, Barbadians, Bahamians. And that was an ode to them. Peppa, the M1 Posse. You know, unfortunately, a lot of them are gone now. A lot of them were lost to the street. But that was my ode to those guys. And what happened is Apache had did Gangsta.
Mm-hmm. Oof, jam.
And so while we're sitting there discussing, you know, what we want to talk about, I was like, you know what? I want to do something for the guys I grew up with, for the Roughnecks that I grew up with. And that's literally how it started. And then we just went to work. And when the song was finished, the record label executives flew down to Virginia. Because Teddy was like, no, you don't get to listen to this from your office. You got to come down here and hear it. And we had a hit record. And by the way, I've told this story before. Left Eye was on that record. She actually left tour to come to the studio to lay that second verse down. And then when it came time for the record label to approve it, they didn't.
Because she was on a different label.
Well, not just a different label. It's Roughneck. And you're talking about Don't Go Chasing Waterfalls. Like, it's a pop group.
Damn, even though she's perfect for it,
even though she would have been perfect.
Oh, my goodness. She rocked her verse. It's on YouTube. Like, somebody got a hold of it and put it on YouTube.
Wow.
But the truth is, you know, once it was nominated for a Grammy, I ran into L.A. Reid, and he was like, oh, Light, I'm sorry. I didn't know. I said, that's the point. We never know, you know? We never know what it could be. So,
well, now the legend Light has got a television show. Where can people check this out?
All Black. They can go to allblack.tv or they can go and download the app like they would do for any other streaming service.
All Black. And this is a sitcom Light has written and produced,
co-created, starring in.
Doing the whole thing.
I heard she's doing the catering. She's doing the catering.
Oh, really?
Cleaning everything. Everything.
Partners in crime.
Set design. I didn't know.
You doing hair and makeup? You doing hair and makeup?
Yes, only when I feel like it. so this concept I created with Wayne Conley, who's actually a very well-established writer. He's on Best Man right now. That's coming back as a series. He just finished two seasons on Greenleaf, two seasons on Queen Sugar. He's a sought after writer. We created this, it sat for a while, and then I went and hooked up with Bentley Kyle Evans, and I was like, okay, listen, I got something. He was like, let's see it. Into a room, we wrote it together, came out, got with the other writers to push out the season, got with Brett Dismuke and Nikki Love at All Black. They loved it. Actually, they bought it without a script. We just pitched it.
And wow. They were like,
that's it. We want it. And so it's an opportunity to put a lot of people to work. You know, the cast is phenomenal. We work with ABFF to find our co-star. Her name is Precious Way. In the show, her name is Luscious. She's a rapper, but one day she decided, you know what, I'm going to act. And literally she became Jack A's daughter on Days of Our Lives, became my niece on this sitcom, and became Brandy's daughter on Queens. So you can see her everywhere. She's a great spirit. And she plays Luscious T in the show, my niece, and she's really great. We got Rolanda Watts, New York's own. We got comedian Ron G, Wesley Jonathan. We just have an amazing cast of people, and I'm excited.
And is it coming up week to week, or are you putting up the whole thing?
No, it goes week to week, and then once it's up, then it's up, and then we start working on the second season.
MC Light, Partners in Rhyme. Go look for it on All Black. Download the app. Light, it's great to see you. We're going to get some of this classic music on too today, too.
Oh, I appreciate you.
I love you.
God bless. Thank you.
Thank you, Light.
Yeah. All right. There it goes. MC Light, ladies and gentlemen. Woo! Yes, yes.
Ebro in the morning. Woo! Hot 97. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Performing this year.
Yo, it's Doja Cat.
Yeah.
Hey. What's happening? It's your boy Offset.
I will be live.
June 2nd.
Sexy Red.
This your boy Meth Man.
What's up, rap world? This is Rat Man.
Sleepy Hollow.
Yo, what up, my people? It's your boy David.
T Grizzly. 41. Hot 97 Summer Jam 2024. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.